And that's kind of linked to the scripture I wanted to read before we worship together. So it's from Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden or burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest here for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's Jesus' words to us, for those of us who choose to follow him. I think that if I'm honest with myself, the frustrations that I face on a weekly basis, if I align my mind and my actions with God and what Christ wants for me during the week, doesn't mean I won't have frustrating things happen, but things go a lot better, a lot more smoothly. There's a peace that transcends, you hear that term, transcends all understanding. It's a real thing. It's not just a fun saying, but it comes from aligning myself with the Word, aligning my thoughts with the Word, spending time in prayer. And when Jesus talks about the yoke, he's talking about there, he's using the analogy of a yoke that allows, for instance, two cattle to move together at the same rate to get the work done properly. If I align myself with Christ, my life might not, it doesn't mean that things go well for me, but it means that I'm able to react better and interact with the world better than I could without alignment with Christ. And so I don't know where you're coming from this morning. If you're coming from a place of alignment with Christ, or if you've had a rough week and you failed, and all of us have sinned this week, I'm sure. And maybe you're here and you don't know Christ yet. You're searching. My prayer is that you would be met with the reality of Christ today, and that these songs that are sung, the communion that is taken, the words that God speaks through Tim this morning would turn our hearts to Christ. So I just want to ask you to stand and join me in singing some songs and worship.
Leave behind your regrets and
Taking communion together as a church family. And I'm going to read from Isaiah 53 before we sing the last song before communion. Isaiah 53, verses 3 and on. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Christianity is the only major religion in the world that proclaims a God who not only loves his people, but actually came and died for them. There's no other religion that talks about that. There's no other religion whose God says that the God came down and died for his people. And he didn't just stay dead, he rose again, he's alive today. And that's who I want to put my trust in, of all the things in this world. That's that's somebody I want to follow. My prayer is that you will feel the same way. So this next song, it's a pretty long song, In Christ Alone, and it proclaims the trust that we put in Christ alone. And of all the things in the world, we put our trust in him. So let's sing that together, and then Tim will come up to lead us in communion.
My strength, my song, this cornerstone. consider the actually the brutal death of Jesus, there's a particular point in his death as he's hanging on the cross where he cries out something that we could never imagine. But he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God, because of the sin that he took on, the wrath that he took on, God had to separate himself because of the sin and, in a sense, abandon Jesus. And that phrase that he said, my God, why have you forsaken me, is from Psalm 22. Which Jesus obviously would have known. And even though it was written by David how many centuries before, nobody really knew that it's a prophecy towards Jesus' death on the cross. But part of that psalm that Jesus would have said the whole psalm as he's hanging there for 3 hours on the cross, I'm sure he would have recited and talked this psalm through. And so in Psalm 22 verse 3 it says, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one, God, that Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and we're not put to shame. He's worshiping his Father. But he says, Psalm 22 says, but I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people, as he looks around him. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. And this is the insult, the mockery. It goes on in Psalm 22. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let God deliver him, since he delights in him. And Jesus delights in his relationship with his Father. That's how he endured the cross, as it goes on in Hebrews chapter 12. The writer says, therefore, since we are surrounded, as we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance. Let's press on. Let's keep going in our relationship with God. Keep going in life. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. And this interesting line in Hebrews 12, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So in the midst of all that he went through, which we try to imagine but we can't, there's a joy. There's a joy that's set before him, that he endured the cross, scorning its shame, putting aside the shame and the mockery and everything, scorning its shame, and sat down when he died, and then he rose from the dead, and then he ascended. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy of accomplishing the plan of God, the joy of defeating sin and death and Satan, and the joy of enveloping us. He scorned the shame and he pulled us into relationship. Arms open wide, he pulled us. Interesting that the cross would force his arms to be out, but in his heart and life, he's pulling us in. And that's why we celebrate communion. It's a death in death. But it's a triumph in death. So as you take a piece of bread, why don't you take one of them on your tables? On the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. So just rip it in half. Part of that is you don't have to eat the whole thing. And you can just take a bite of it. But he broke bread, which represents his broken body. It was, in many ways, broken down on the cross. No bones were broken, but it was pretty beat up. But his body was broken. So we remember the physical, it wasn't a spiritual thing, it was a physical, real death. So, if you would just close your eyes for a moment, and if you can, imagine Jesus on the cross. And then he's looking at his disciples, he's looking at all those around that are mocking him, all those that are wondering who this Jesus is. And he's remembering the breaking of the bread that he just did with his disciples the night before. This is my body broken for you. Repeat after me if you would, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your death on the cross. We are so grateful. And together, Lord Jesus, we eat and remember. In the same way, he took the cup. This is my blood. Real blood. Physical blood that dripped down the cross. The blood that washes our sin. As Ryan so aptly said, no other founder of any main religion. I don't mean disrespect of anything. It's just your religion didn't have a Savior that died and rose from the dead and ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Your religion just doesn't have it. But Jesus did. His blood was shed. He lost a lot. There's a song that I heard a while ago where it says that the devil actually choked on the blood of Christ. It's an interesting phrase. The devil choked on the blood of Christ. Interesting. But blood is life-giving. Blood gives life. And that's why we can celebrate the blood of Christ, because it gives you and me life. So again, close your eyes. Think of the cross. Think of his blood if you can on his underneath the crown of thorns or on his hands or on his feet. From the lashes, for the joy set before him. shed blood.
You shed blood.
That gives me life.
That gives me life.
And your word says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Thank you for your forgiveness.
Stand and sing this in response together.
I'm going to close Psalm 22. The Apostle Paul instructed Timothy to read Scripture publicly to the church. So listen, and then Ryan will close us up. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night I hear my voice, but I find no relief. Keep in mind, this is not only Jesus, but David writing as a human. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors trusted in you, and you rescued them. They cried out to you and were saved. They trusted you and were never disgraced. But I am a worm and not a man. I am scorned and despised by all. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads, saying, "Is this the one who relies on the Lord? Then let the Lord save him. If the Lord loves him so much, let the Lord rescue him." Yet you brought me safely from my mother's womb, and you led me to trust you at my mother's breast. I was thrust into your arms at birth, and you have been my God from the moment I was born. Do not stay so far from me, for trouble is near, and no one else can help me. My enemies surround me like a herd of bulls. Fierce bulls of Bashan have hemmed me in. Like lions, they open their jaws against me, roaring and tearing into their prey. My life is poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax melting within me. My strength is dried up like sun-baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You have laid me in the dust and left me for dead. My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs, and an evil gang closes in on me, and they have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments among themselves and throw dice for my clothing. O Lord, do not stay far away. You are my strength. Come quickly to my aid. Save me from the sword. Spare my precious life from these dogs. Snatch me from the lion's jaws and from the horns of these wild oxen. I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. Praise the Lord, all who fear him. Honor him, all you descendants of Jacob. Show him reverence, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned his back on them, but has listened to their cries for help. I will praise you in the great assembly. I will fulfill my vows in the presence of those who worship you. The poor will eat and be satisfied. All who seek the Lord will praise you. Their hearts will rejoice with everlasting joy. The whole earth will acknowledge the Lord and return to him. All the families of the nations will bow down before him. For royal power belongs to the Lord. He rules all the nations. Let the rich of the earth feast and worship. Bow before him all who are mortal, all whose lives will end as dust. Our children will also serve him. Future generations will hear about the wonders of the Lord. His righteous acts will be told to those not yet born. They will hear about everything he